John Main, 35 riders. Let's go.
That's why I work. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I work. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Give me blessing. Now I'm shining. I'm nothing like a nut. Why
sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. John Main, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day, all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas high. In the world, wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking, that's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke,
that's why.
I ain't never had shit, came from nothing. Kept busting, now I'm shining. Nothing like it's nothing,
that's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke,
that's why.
I ain't never had shit, came from nothing. Kept busting, now I'm shining. Nothing like it's nothing,
why. Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Maine's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, hustle hard, push, homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool, cause now my ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young man can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run this city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke,
that's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining. Nothing like it's nothing,
that's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke,
that's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining. Nothing like it's nothing,
why. I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own.
Limelight. Yeah.
I don't wanna stunt, no. I don't wanna brag. I gotta do it first. I'm uncomfortable with that. Money's always good. I prefer it when it's bad. So debit card is debit, so I gotta go with cash. I don't wanna stunt, no. I don't wanna brag. I gotta do it first. I'm uncomfortable with that. From the top you cannot climb down. I'm trying to make them faces like connected to your eyebrow. Right now, I don't stand in line, I don't fuck around. Somehow I made it mainstream and not the underground. Will it spin its ways? If you ever see the strays, it won't keep them coming back. Every way I'm getting paid. Lift me up, I wanna raise with the help from all my fans. I appreciate the love, but I don't ever want a fan. Goddamn, that's the way they try to stop the wave. But you cannot block my shine with expensive pair of shades. Like a heart next to a space. Sipping bitches wanna cut. I should be Orlando's mascot. I'm always on some stuff. If you take away the negative, then limelight is a plus. In any situation, I can easily adjust. No matter how much I make, too much is not enough. I'm currently like a swinger. I'm into spreading the love, huh? I don't wanna stunt. No, I don't wanna brag. I gotta do it first. I'm uncomfortable with that. Money's always always good, I prefer it when it's bad. So debit card deception, so I gotta go with cash. I don't wanna gun, I don't wanna brag. I gotta do it first, I'm uncomfortable with last. Money's always good, I prefer it when it's bad. So debit card deception, so I gotta go with cash. No other payments are accepted. The hate gets digested and your bitch gets collected. Don't deal well with rejection, I'm used to hearing it, yes. There's no stylist that can style me, don't worry about how I dress. College boy, I prep for anything that's next. Or put the beat in a torture rack, I'm flex the way that I flex, boy. Anyone that I met knows the time it took in the making. And the over I reside, but in a Yankee way that I'm thinking, that means everything go back. Like NASCAR, how far do I have to go to prove to you I have a earned heart? But I'm not a J.R. This begins my legacy. You don't have the copyright. I'm keeping my identity. I give them what they need. Like the air you gotta breathe. I don't care for MVP when I'm the owner of the league. I'm the I that's in the team. If you take away the A, that just leaves me with some time. Cause you know it always pays. I don't wanna stunt, I don't wanna brag. I gotta do it first, I'm uncomfortable with that. Money's always good, I prefer it when it's bad. So debit card deception, so I gotta go with cash. I don't want a gun, I don't want a flag. I gotta do it first, I'm uncomfortable with last. Money's always good, I prefer it when it's fast. No debit card deception, so I gotta go with cash. Go with cash.
Now I'm like,
tap, tap.
Already. Welcome to The Cut Goes Down every Wednesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Host Onyx on the line with you, also other host Golden Fleece. What's good?
Yeah. Back in here, another Wednesday night. You know what it is, The Cut. Live
absolutely
on your blog talk station. You know how we do.
Already, right at Global 14. If this is your first time tuning in tonight, guys, this is Jermaine, the Police Station, Global 14 Radio, via the brand global14.com. So we do hope that you'll stop through there as well. Don't just stop tonight for the interview. It's going to be a great night. Got Aspect, who is from New York, touching down with us tonight, and Mimi Falls,
yes,
loving hip hop
and
show. So exciting night. You know, Georgia, NY on the line.
I'm excited. I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
You know, we got a up-and-coming independent rapper out there doing his thing. And, of course, we got the explosive, lovely Mimi Faust on the line, man. Loving
yes.
hip-hop of Atlanta. Best show on television right now. You could call it ratchet. You could call it what you want. But the ratings, don't lie. They get them ratings. And that show is popping. And we got a lot of questions for Mimi, a lot of questions for Aspect. So, dope show.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I can't wait to get started. I wanted to ask you, because I want to mention to everyone that didn't get an opportunity to tune in with us last Wednesday. We did do a Trayvon Martin broadcast and kind of took calls from everyone about their, you know, how they viewed the trial and the verdict and whatnot. And I know that you're out there, you know, where it all went down, Golden, so in Florida. So
yeah.
Did you get a chance to touch down to any of the rallies that happened the Wednesday night or Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Matter of fact, last week when you was doing the show, the reason why I wasn't on here is because I was headed to one of the rallies. And it's just big-time support. It's just really a lot of people, black, white, Asian. It doesn't really matter the race, you know what I'm saying? The people that saw the injustice of what happened to Trayvon, they all gathering mm-hmm. together and showing their solidarity, you know what I'm saying? It really goes deep, deeper than race, when people know what type of shady laws is on the books out there. And it's opening up a lot of conversation to a lot of shit, not just the laws that they got with the Stand Your Ground, but also these drug case laws, these laws that's keeping people locked up for so long on these unviolent offenses. Just a bunch of different stuff is coming up now. And, of course, the race relations in America. I'm not going to lie. Out here,
mm-hmm.
you kind of feel a little bit of tension now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
White people that always was cool with you kind of a little bit scared, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey,
mm-hmm,
how you
mm-hmm.
doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, everything all right. Like, you know, I ain't going to change. Everything is good. You know what I'm saying? We're
yeah,
still people.
Yeah.
But, you know, it kind of put them on edge because a lot of black people are angry and vice versa. A lot of these white cats that's really racist and really don't like black people, they feel they don't really got to even pander to you. They're not trying to keep a secret. They're like, yo, fuck you. Just touch me, I'll shoot you. You know what I'm saying? So they just see him get off with shooting that young kid. So now they got the battery in their back. So it's a lot of... It's kind of crazy, man. We're going to see how it plays out. But it's not a mood you can really describe because it's both ends of the spectrum. People being nicer to each other, very nice. Mm-hmm. And then people just like, yo, fuck you. Get out of my face.
Absolutely. And I had mentioned that last week in the show. I definitely felt like I stepped back in time to, like, the 60s real quick. Like, for them 2 or 3 days, it was crazy, you know, and especially being in hospitality and hotel and management, and then everybody's coming in and out from different, you know, all over the country. So I was just like, wow, you know, it's just different type of scene. So, you know, well, we can definitely keep us posted, you know, of course, and then,
no doubt.
You know, we'll be on top of the news as well. So then again, everybody, like I said, this is G14 Radio via the station global14.com. That's your main, the pre-social networking site. So you go over there, you're going to catch everything with the news, the exclusive music, the blogs, the fashion, and latest, and of course, you know, politics and whatnot, which people tend to go back and forth a little bit and get involved in some great debates, and it's just a neat place. It's a break from Facebook, so head over to there, see what they talk about, see what they're dealing with. Also, Jermaine Dupri also hosts a lot of parties and DJs, and sometimes the guest lists are available at global14.com to the members. So if you feel like partying with the celebs and all of that, head over there. You might have the opportunity to do so. And then also a lot of people are asking how they can be featured on the show. Some of them won't be featured on the show. Talking about, I'm not going to go there tonight, but we do have people that want to get their music played and all of that. So I wanted to pass the mic to you, homie, so you could let everybody know how they could be featured and considered to, you know, get their music played.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's as simple as hitting us up, man. You know, we got the social networks going on. We got the Twitters. You can hit Onyx at Onyx254. You can hit me at the Glue, THAGLUE. And Onyx is ONYX254. Hit us on the Twitter. Hit us on the DMs. You know what I'm saying? Let us know why you want us to play your song. Let us know what projects you got going on. So we just not playing music and not promoting your shit the right way. You know what I'm saying? If we put you on the show, we definitely want to put you out there in the best light, have your people call in and support you. Or you can hit us up on global14.com, of course. Onyx is just Onyx on there, and I'm just Golden Fleece on there. They got private messages. Hit us up. Speak to us about what you got going on. Like I said, that's very important. We don't just want to play nobody's music just to be playing it. If you got a plan of action, you're in a certain area, you're trying to break a certain market, let us know those things because we can let our audience know what you're trying to do, and you never know. There may be somebody listening that can help you out. So holler at us anytime, man. We love new music. And shout out to all the people that are sending us new music. I'm getting a lot of dope stuff. So next show we had the independent joint. We're going to have some nice music to play. So.
Most definitely. And that's going to go down August 7th, I believe, is the date. So don't have the calendar in front of me, but I believe that's going to be August 7th. So shout out to, like you said, everybody that's sending that joint in. So we're going to go ahead and bring our guest on, Short B. We're going to have the first guest up, which is special guest Aspect. But before we do bring him on, you know, we haven't had an opportunity to really do this in a minute. So I thought that we could do that tonight, which is basically just mention the Billboard charts. There's not much really going on. I can tell you this. Number one on the Hot 100 radio pop, R&B, and hip-hop song is Robin Thicke with T.I. and Pharrell, Blurred Minds. That song is everywhere. And then you have the number one rap song, Macklemore and Ryan, Can't Hold Us. And then, of course, the number one R&B hip-hop album is Jay-Z, Magna Carta, Holy Grail. And also coming in at number two, this is a nice surprise, of Ciara. So I'm excited for her. That's not bad, you know. She passed up J. Cole. He's number two. Good job, Ciara. Good job.
Nah, you gotta shout out Ciara, man. She got some dope records, man. I was surprised that her sales were as low as they were, because I think she got some strong records. But I think she's gonna make up for that with her live performances that people are seeing. So shout out to Ciara. I always say Ciara's like if not the best, one of the best dancers in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she really can get it popping with that dancing, and she got some dope joints out, so I'm glad to see her back. She's a beautiful girl. I know damn well I'm glad to see her back.
Alrighty. Well, anything on the mixtape before we look into bringing on our special guest tonight? Anything that you came across?
There's a couple mixtapes. Yeah, there's a couple mixtapes out here banging. You got, Shad the God, which is T.I.'s cousin. He got a joint out called Gas Life. You got King Louie from the Shy. He got a joint out called Jeep Music. So if you're following that Chicago movement, he got one out. You got one of the Odd Future kids, Earl Sweatshirt. He got a joint out called Road to Doris. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people really digging him. So check him out. What else you got here? You got a bunch of compilation mixtapes. I'm really looking for the artists, though, especially, more the popular ones that people follow. As far as that's concerned, Rich Homie Quan, well, no, he has a joint out that he's hosting, but he got songs popping in the street, so check his joint out, Rich Homie Quan. I believe he dropped one a little while ago. But that's about it. Everything else is really just compilation. You got your R&B joints. You got your Strictly for the Traps and Trunks. You got
your
I'll Show You How to Do That. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just compilation joints. You know what I'm saying? So Shad the God, King Louie, Earl Sweatshirts, that's the ones that stand out to me right now. So check those out.
Okay. Most definitely. I do know the one of our previous guests, Louisiana Cash, he's dropping a series of several different promotional mixtapes. So I know that he dropped one this week, or it's coming out this week, something to that nature. So you guys can follow our Twitter at G14 Radio and check the links and whatnot. So let's talk about the artist that we have coming on tonight, Aspect, who has a mixtape out. Can't wait to have him on the show and discuss what's going on with his project. And here is his single. We're going to go ahead and get into it because he's coming on the line right now. If you want to get your calls in and speak with him, 760-913-4119. And we're going to go ahead and get his record on. Actually, have him on the line already, and I was so excited because it's very rare that we could get them in on time and start on time. So shout out to Aspect.
Timing. Gotta love that.
Shout out to him for just the professionalism and all of that, and his team going hard on the promo. So good dude. And he's from New York, right? Did you know that?
Yep. Aspect's been rocking on Global 14 for a minute, collaborating with some nice names too. So it's gonna be good to see what he got going on, and where he aspires to take his music, man. He's got a good start. So let's definitely talk to him about what he has going on right after his joint.
Yeah, and it's called Lyrically Untouchable. I'm loving that already. Features a couple of people. Let's see if y'all can figure out who's on the record. Coming up next, Aspect, G14 Radio The Cut.
Yeah.
Summers when I open eyes, Aspect opens minds, each line divides time when I rhyme. I guess I'm counterclockwise. I make you feel the real with the prosthetic limb. With these overhead bars, your chest feels like an iron gym. Square cut corners, your career's at a stop. Octagon, just in case you think I'm too out the box. I'm detrimental to any instrumental. My mental is designed to bury a pen and pencil. I over 90 eclipse, graphic 16. That's compatible to 64-bit rhyme script. Got you building bridges over the fire that exists. But cross and even half length coming. I'm King Cooper shit. Half second coming and staying upon arrival. The main event with each punch in the subside. What's that effect?
Untouchable, lyrically I'm untouchable,
y'all. It's finally good to, like, hear from y'all after us talking so long on Global 14, you know what I mean?
Well, definitely. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. You know, waiting to talk to y'all, seeing what's up for y'all.
Oh, my goodness. That joint was lovely. I mean, I loved it. Like, it's incredible. Golden,
appreciate
wasn't
it.
That crazy?
Nah, I love that joint. You know, we heard that on Global 14. Aspect dropped that joint on us a little. Like a month ago, I think he dropped that joint on us.
Yeah,
and
it
was
recent.
Loving, yeah, it was a recent joint, man, and I was just loving all the, you know, I love all the cats on there. Aspect always had a dope flow, and then, you
yes,
know, incorporating, you know, Freeway, all the other cats, man, was just like, all right, boom, this is a dope track right here. So, and then you can never miss with a Biggie hook, you know what I'm saying? Like, that
not
joint
not at
right
all.
Is... you're going to win with that. So he put it together real nice, man. Now, we're going to talk about what Aspect has going on, man, because, you know, we all know the climate of the rap game. We all know the climate of the hip-hop game. So let's get into it, man. You know, we need strategic plans out here, and I know you got one. So we want to tell the world what you're dealing with. So let's get it started.
No doubt.
So, Aspect, tell us who's on that single. Real quick,
oh,
for everybody
that's listening. Mickey Fax, me, of course, Freeway, and Memphis Bleak.
Nice. Flawless lineup
Love
right
it.
There.
Appreciate
so,
that. Thank you.
we've been knowing you for a minute via the Global 14 Network, and you know, it's, you've been great from day one. Your music has always been dope, like Golden just mentioned. And now we get to have you on the show, exclusive interview, so it's a nice night. I want to ask you, I never really got a chance to ask you how you broke into the whole scene of recording with hip-hop and where your name derives from. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, you know, actually, I started hip-hop kind of late because I'm from Jamaica. I'm Jamaican, half Jamaican, and I grew up around, like, reggae music and R&B, and I ain't really get into the hip-hop scene until, like, high school.
And right, then, right.
You know, and then, you know, a little bit after that, I got in a couple of cyphers. You know, I wrote a little bit. People was like, yo, you nice. You should take this serious. You know, so I started writing, but I had a little hiatus. You know, family life, had my son. Then I got back into it a little bit, released Arts and Crafts, met up with my manager, and then it's been moving since then, I guess, you know what I mean? So.
Most definitely. So high school, how long ago was that for you?
Oh, man. It's definitely been some years back.
Okay. I just wanted to check. We gotta let everybody know, you know, kind of the ballpark here. We got ladies listening tonight, so you have to pitch it, post it, they look in. So I gotta ask, you know, they wanna know. So, and congratulations,
well, I'm
definitely your father.
80s baby.
Shout out to that, and my mother's Jamaican roots, so shout out to that as well. I'm loving you already. So, okay, so you let's talk about it. Looks like you've pretty much moved around a lot within the industry up there. How many people have you actually had opportunity to work with? This track was ridiculous. So how many people have you actually ran into and had the opportunity to work with thus far from the New York area in the industry, period?
Well, my new project, The Gallery, is going to feature them three artists right there. Also, Brooklyn native Sky Zoo. I have a Brazilian R&B artist coming through named Davey Rodriguez. He just finished doing a tour in London. Really dope artist. Y'all gonna hear from him. Yeah, y'all definitely gonna hear from him in the future. And I had a pretty dope lineup as far as like production from like where they from. Like every track I have on this new project is from people in different locations. I have one cat in London, another one in Toronto, Cali. So it's gonna be a well-rounded project as well. And you know, it's been fun. It's been fun. I met a lot of good people, you know. Met Jermaine Dupri 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
Didn't get really to talk to him. He was at in Miami, you know, spending the ones and twos at Live or whatnot. So he was pretty occupied, but I mean, he was lacing it down though.
Most definitely, he's such a great guy. I mean, like I hang with him every day, but he's a great guy. You know, he's really humble, and we appreciate all that he does for us on the Global 14 Network, and you know, just taking the time out to holler at, you know, individuals like yourself who are out there getting it, grinding, and putting in that work. So let's talk about this Lyrically Untouchable and these comparisons that you have to the Nas's and to the Commons. Like, how did all this come about? And
well, I released Arts and Crafts a couple years back, and that's kind of what like spawned a lot of comparisons. You know, because of the concepts and my storytelling and the lyrical content that's involved with it. And I feel I'm myself, you know, but to be compared to Common and Lupe Fiasco is a humbling experience. I definitely appreciate that comparison, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's something like, how did this come into play? So what is your method, or I would say inspiration for writing? Is it true, based on true stories, or is this just, you know, kind of tell us about your writing style, if you will.
You know, it's random. It's all about feeling. Like, some days I could be at work, you know what I mean? I could be helping a customer, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to write something. You know, or I could be eating, or I could be listening to, like, old 90s music and just write something. It's like my surroundings inspires me to write. So it's, like, no real, like, set method. You know, it's just whatever, you know, I'm feeling at the time.
Absolutely. And so then, being an independent artist in this game and coming up, and you have a great team, by the way. I need to shout out your team because they're amazing. He's been on top of it, and I've never had anybody to be, not very many people, I won't say anybody, but on top of their game like that. So I was like, wow, you know, he's following up, he's sending stuff. It was just amazing. So shout out to him, Jay Global.
Jay Global,
yeah.
I mean, definitely.
He's great.
He's been looking out for me since day one. Real loyal, genuine dude. I'm glad to have him. I'm really blessed to have him on the team. Very blessed.
Definitely. Everything looks awesome. Somebody texted me and said, you sound so fine. So, she was like, they love your accent. So, like I said, we got ladies online. So, that's what I had to know. Is you 80s baby, 90s baby? What was you dealing with? So, shout out to her for that tweet. I'm not going to embarrass you, but you can check his picture on my IG and on Global 14. So, you can find him there. And hopefully I'm not getting you in trouble or anything. So I'm sorry. This is just the radio. That's how it goes sometimes. You know, it's unpredictable. I want to ask you, being an independent artist, what is one of the challenges that you feel that you've run into trying to break into this industry? Because you know how it is and the roadblocks that come. What do you feel like is a challenge for you at this moment?
Being independent is kind of a gift and a curse. It's a gift because you have the freedom to put the music you want out there. You're funding your own project, so you don't have to worry about, oh, you owe this person anything. Everything's coming from you. So you put in what you get, basically. Mm-hmm. But the curse on that is you're not backed by a major label who might have all the marketing strategies, all the connects that you would want. So it's kind of a 50-50, but I'd rather independent anyway because I want to reap all the benefits that I'm sowing, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's starting to pay off. It's definitely a hard grind in the beginning, but, you know, after you do it for a while, you kind of, you know, learn from your mistakes and all of that, and you pick up from it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely been picking up. So, you know, it's a blessing.
Most definitely. That's well said. So, what is Aspect going to do to, how can I put this? What is the thing that Aspect is going to bring to the table that's different from, although you're very much like the comments and these comparisons, Lupe Fiasco, what makes you such a standout artist and why should the fans gravitate to you?
You know, and I'm not going to say I'm like different because I'm myself, but I am giving you myself. You know, whatever I'm feeling at the moment, I'm going to put in my music. You know, mm-hmm. It's not going to be any filter. If it's something that's bothering me or I'm still happy about, I'm going to put it out on record. I mean, mm-hmm. And I feel like in this today's market, like a lot of people is kind of piggybacking off somebody else's success instead of doing what they really, you know, feel is right for them. You know what I mean? Because you can't force something that's not natural. And a lot of cats are forcing mm-hmm. things that's not natural to them, and they don't really last that long in the game. You know, mm-hmm. I plan on staying here for a while. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. I really appreciate that. I would have been golden for you saying that because – And Golden, I'm going to bring you back on too because I know you had some things you wanted to ask Aspect and so he could share with the audience. But that's perfect that you said that about being transparent and being yourself because you can only keep up that facade for so long and we can see right through that, you know, and your personality and the way that you socialize and network and build relationships via Global 14 and the Twitter, that's we can tell that's really you. So that's another reason why when you know, scheduling for you to come on the show, that had to happen. So, yes, we're very glad that you came on and shared that information because a lot of rappers want to get in the game. A lot of them are independent and unsigned, and it is going to be a long time grind, but it does pay off in the end. So I'm glad to hear that it's happening for yourself. So, Golden, you're on the line. I'll bring you back live, homie.
Oh, yeah, man. Just listening, man, and, you know, definitely knows the independent artist grind, you know what I'm saying? Definitely understanding the climate of hip-hop, you know. Through this part of the interview, I wanted to get into New York. I'm from New York. I love my home. But musically right now, New York is suffering. So I wanted to definitely talk to Aspect about that and see what his insight and his feelings were about it. So, basically, as an independent artist right now, you see a lot of artists that's coming out of New York don't sound like your typical New York artist. The lyricism is going down to the wayside, and it's more about the melodies and the feeling like it is in the South. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's like New York is taking a page from the South. How do you feel about being a lyricist. I mean, you got Freeway on your joint. You got Bleak on your joint. You got Mickey Fax on your joint. Shout out to Mickey Fax, who's rocking with my URL fam. I always see him at the battles and stuff doing his thing. So how do you feel about that aspect? How do you feel about being a New York lyricist, but the climate out here doesn't seem like they're accepting that from New York right now?
Well, it's tough. I don't want to say, like, it's not as accepting. It's like, you know, in the 90s and even the early 2000s, you know, the New York market was real strong. And a lot of that was because you'll see a lot of New York artists, especially big major artists, come together on one track and show that New York unity. You remember, like, you know, when LL Cool J came with an album, he always had, like, that one song where there was, like, a lot of people on there, but they were all from New York. But you're not getting that same love anymore. You're not getting that same love. Like, a lot of people was kind of for self. And it feels like we're in the era of the quick fix. You know what I mean? And whatever's popping at the moment, instead of being in their realm and doing what they feel is genuine, they kind of piggybacking, like I was saying earlier, piggybacking into what's popping at the moment. But when that's gone and you try to be genuine again and be lyrical, they not feeling that, you know what I mean? Because they're like, hold up, no, you was just doing that, you know, last year, and now you're conscious with a bean pie, you know what I mean, talking about you, you know what I mean? It just backwards, you know what I mean? And people can read through that, you know what I mean? So I know it's a tough time right now, but at the end of the day, lyricism always comes back on top. Like, you see Kendrick Lamar coming out popping, and, you know, he went gold, you know what I mean? J. Cole's coming out, and he's a good storyteller. He's pretty lyrical. You know, they feel that at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So,
indeed,
it's tough.
Indeed. It's tough. You know, you're right. And, you know, one thing that I'm seeing and I'm getting from it is, it's funny, just how you mentioned, the lyricism is still respected, but it's like it's respected from other parts of the country, from other states. It's like New York was so lyrical that even if a cat from New York is lyrical right now, he's like, ah, that's what New York is known for. But you got a cat that come from Compton, California doing it, or a cat from Fayetteville, North Carolina doing it, and it's like, oh, my God, listen to this guy's lyrics.
But
it's,
you know what
New
else,
York.
And you know what else, too? I'm sorry. Like, you mentioned, like, Kendrick Lamar being from Compton and Fayetteville. Like, on top of their lyricism, I feel what sets them apart, too, so people can hear their lyricism, is their beat taste. New York, love New York, but sometimes they can be a slave of their own production. Like, when you hear, like, somebody that's lyrical, they kind of stay in that same instrumentation, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, production. So it gives you that same feel. So it's like, dang, I just heard this 10 years ago. Why should I listen to this beat? You know what I mean? And it's like they don't want to change in that sense. They're kind of stubborn in a way. You know, like Kendrick Lamar, you can hear his influences when you hear him rapping. You know, you can hear the Chicago influence in him. You can hear New York. You can hear Compton, because he's well-rounded and he respects all types of music. And it shows on his project. J. Cole, the same thing. You can hear so many influences on him, which is bringing a broader market. You know, the New York rapper, they just giving you New York. And if you're just giving somebody New York, you're one-dimensional. And nowadays, you have to be three-dimensional because you have everybody listening to hip-hop. Just like you said with the URL, URL is global. Everybody's listening to that. Everybody's coming from, like, London, Australia, to come every year for the Summer Madness battle. So you have to be three-dimensional now.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. You have to be a well-rounded artist. And we had this conversation on Global 14 the other day, what's setting rap apart. And one thing I was telling the group was that the non-confrontational music, the global appeal, is what's working right now, because these guys are guys that can make any type of song and it be accepted. And it's always like New York gets boxed in to you on the block with a crack rock or you know, my team is this and my team is that. So I definitely understand what you're saying, because Nobody, how many times could you hear that the same way? I always tell people, like when Jeezy and these guys came out from Georgia, they was talking about that same shit, but they was talking about it in a way different way. They was singing with it, and Jeezy's like, I sold crack to the something in the street. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was totally different than a nigga just... I got cracks in my socks and that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was that crazy. And I'm wondering, like, do New York rappers get that? Do they understand that the fans are changing? Do they understand that there's only a million ways you can hear the same shit? People going to get tired of it about a thousand times, and I think that's where they're at.
I think they're stubborn. They're real stubborn because, you know, they originated, you know, so much of the hip-hop. And because of that, they kind of have, like, you know, that bravado, like, you know, we're not changing it. We created it. We can take it type attitude. And you can't really do that anymore. You know
but
what
when
I mean?
You like, realize, asking you, now you're right, but when do you realize that you lose it? Like, when do you, the light bulbs come up in your head like, damn, the radio stations ain't playing us. We're not selling records.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing.
I mean.
We got to,
you know, sometimes people can see a burning house, walk in a burning house, stop, drop, and roll, and still walk into the burning house. Some people are like that, you know, and it's going to take a couple of times for the northern market to get burned to really, like, understand, like, okay, we need to make a difference. We need to come together. We need to blend with everybody. We need to be more global, you know what I mean, with our approach because we're losing fans. You know, even if, like, we have a good project, because they're so used to us being redundant with our music, they're not even going to listen to us no more. You know what I mean? So, I mean, this change got to happen. You know what I mean? So
let me ask you about your production. I know earlier you said you pick things that are well-rounded, and mm-hmm. obviously you keeping up with what everybody's doing new, like the Kendricks, the J. Cole's, well-rounded sounds. J. Cole even produces mm-hmm. old album, and people are like, damn, I didn't know he produces old album. You know what I'm saying? Like, cats are making sure that they understand what the climate is. So who are some of the people that you're working with that you know is going to give you that diverse sound so you won't land in that same trap that a lot of these New York rappers will land in because they're stubborn?
Very true. And, you know, like, I have a couple of New York artists, New York producers on my project, mm-hmm. but like, I have this North Carolina producer named DJ Anonymous. He gave me like this southern up-tempo, you know, type sound, and I was like, whoa, blew my mind. The guy from Toronto, completely different sound. I got this guy from London. His name is Nice, and he adds more live instrumentation to it. And like maybe a couple years back, I linked up with one of my friends who happened to be a dope musician named Press Keys, and all he delivers is live production and live sound. So I noticed also when I started performing the past couple of years, I started incorporating a band to my performances because I noticed that live sound reaches people in a way actual beat from the computer or the studio can't deliver the same, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I've been really incorporating a lot of live sound.
So. Nice. I'm a big fan of live sound. When we do our production, we try to use a lot of live drums and things of that nature because, you know, that sound always resonated with the audience, even from back on, you know, Motown days, Funk Brother days. So I totally agree with that, man. So, New York rapper aspect. Let me ask you this. Do you have a tour plan? Are you going to go to the East Coast? Are you going to be somebody that says, you know what? First place I'm not going to go is through the East Coast. I'm going to go through the South. I'm going to go through the Midwest. I'm going to go to the West Coast. Are you planning on hitting any markets that aren't familiar with you anytime soon?
Well, you know, my manager's based out of Miami. And I thought that was unfamiliar grounds for me. I was like, oh, man, this is a tough market right here. They don't want to hear that lyrical stuff. But, you know, I guess because of my stage performance, you know, the live band that I brought, they was real receptive, and it shocked me.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
And, you know, in a couple of, well, I have a couple of shows coming up. I have one in upstate New York, like Albany, and that's going to be different for me too. And then I perform in London in about 2-3 months. And then
nice.
I come back to, yeah, and that's going to be different because I know they listen to all kinds of music and they still love that pure, you know, early 90s Rakim-ish Nas type
right.
feel. So like I hope they're real receptive to what I have to offer for them. You know what I mean? And then I have a folk festival in Virginia for Halloween, so that's going to be different. So we'll definitely see. It's going to be different. It's going to be an interesting year.
Nah, that's dope, man. That's dope. That is real dope, especially London and Albany. You going out of the comfort zones and, you know, Miami, bringing the band, I think that's genius, man. You know, you got people that love the rap music down there, but also, you know, people, you know, they don't look at Miami Sound Machine, Gloria Estefan, and all that.
Yep.
Those are all bands, and those people are huge influences no matter what type of music goes on down there, because there's a lot of instrumentation that was born down there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I think that was real dope that you did that.
And
I had another topic I wanted to talk to you about. Now, go ahead.
Oh, no. You good. Go ahead.
I was going to say I had another topic I wanted to talk to you about, and it was beef. It was New York beef, and you kind of touched on it earlier. The rappers not getting along in New York, the powerhouses, you know, you don't hear, not all of them, but you don't hear Jay-Z doing a record with 50 Cent. You don't hear these big powerhouse New York records, but you hear all of these New York guys that are revered doing records with Rick Ross, doing records
yeah.
with Young Jeezy, doing records with everybody else except the other higher echelon New York rapper. Do you feel any type of way about that?
Well, you know, as a hip-hop artist, I'm a fan first. And growing up as a fan and looking at, you know, the personalities, how music changed, you kind of get to see what happened to it. You know, when I was saying, like, you know, New York rappers ain't doing projects together anymore, a lot of that, you know, 50 Cent actually started a lot of that process, too, in the early 2000s. Because when he came out popping. He had, you know, the mixtapes going. But he also generated a lot of beef with people. And then it was to the point where he'll have a diss track, you know, with people that works with the people he's beefing with. So you had a web of people being scared to even release a track with anybody in New York, which you can kind of see the music shifting too because of that. That's when people started going to the South and the West Coast even more. And, you know, you had like the Joe Buttons, even though he's from Jersey. You know, Button was beefing, but like Saigon, so they had that beef. So people that's in their crew won't, you know, do projects with that crew. So it was just sloppy,
right?
You know, and
right.
You kind of seeing what's going. You seeing the aftermath of all of that right now, and it's a little sad. You know what I mean? So.
No doubt. I recognize exactly what you're talking about, which is why I wanted to ask you, you know, as a fellow New Yorker, man, I always like to ask people in the music industry, what do you think is going on over there? Because, like you said, it is a little sad, and we witnessed that climate, but now you just got to embrace it, and now you got to come through, cut through all the bullshit, learn from everybody's mistakes, and grow to where you want to go. Which leads to my next question, man. Your project that you're going to get ready to release, are you
mm-hmm.
releasing this on iTunes? Are you just hitting that Piff live mixtapes? How could they find your new tape when it comes out?
Well, the gallery, right now the set date for it is Halloween. And I believe
okay.
that's a Thursday. But it's scheduled on Halloween. And it's going to be on that Piff. I have over half of my records going to be on iTunes. I'm going to be promoting it through Hip Hop Weekly. I just got in talks with some of the staff members from The Source magazine. You know, hopefully I get to, you know, promote it real live on, you know, on Global 14. You know, so it's going to be in a lot of lot of areas. I'm hoping for like a really big release, and you know, hopefully the names are strong enough to, you know, bring more of an audience to me as well. You know what I mean? So it's definitely going to be a different project. You know what I mean? And then also, like we was talking about with the New York music, I wanted to get into that. You know, at the end of the day, we're just music artists, and if people stop segregating it as much, other artists won't be as scared to come to different regions or different states. Be like, oh, I'm a North Carolina artist, I can't rap with this New York artist. We're all music artists, even though we're from different regions. We're just right. music. The more we segregated it, you know, the more separate they're gonna feel. You know, the more isolated they're gonna feel. And you know, when we actually form it as one, instead of like West Coast, East Coast, or North Carolina, Texas, and we just say, yo, we hip-hop artists, period, then, you know, you'll see the change. You know what I mean?
No, I definitely think that they should think that way, and I hope, like you said, they come around to realizing it, because Jay-Z's letting you know what I'm saying, that music is universal, and you can make the rules if you're doing it in the right way. I mean, this guy got tours going on with Justin Timberlake and, you know, doing things with people that you would have never thought he would have done things with. So it's still hope for it out there. And, you know, we hope people get it together. So, like you said, the unity could be there. People will be more accepting of an aspect and not looking for him to have a southern sound or something like that. So, you know, we all rooting for you on this side. We definitely going to be plugging your projects, whatever you do, making sure our audience knows what you're dealing with. I'm going to definitely bring Onyx back on right now so we can get all your social networks where everybody can reach you. And also, man, if you have any advice to give our audience, especially these independent artists that are trying to come up, maybe some advice or some of the obstacles that you've met, you know what I'm saying, and how you got around those. I know they would like to hear that as well.
You know, and I don't want to sound like real cliche, but I mean, it is kind of cliche. Like, you just got to be real to yourself. You know, you got to understand your strengths and weaknesses, you know, and embrace them. You know what I mean? And your character is everything. You know, I mentioned that to somebody not too long ago. Character is everything. If you have a horrible character, you can't expect to adhere to anybody else if your character sucks. It's going to kill you in the end. So you just got to be positive and real to yourself. And once you do that, you can accomplish whatever you're trying to do. You know what I mean? You just got to put in that work for it. But you can accomplish whatever if you put in the work and real to yourself. So.
Most definitely. I mean, I was going to ask him to do the same, so I'm so glad you did that, because he's definitely headed in the right direction. I was just listening, talking about going to London and performing with the live bands and touching down the different markets, and that's how you got to do it, you know, build up that fan base and build up the awareness and brand yourself and market yourself, because you are a brand. So aside from just being an artist and being real, so shout out to you and your whole team for holding it down and getting you out there. And you know, please let us know. I heard you say you wanted to mention it and go hard and push. Please keep us posted and let us know when you have the new records and the project out so we can do our part right here on the show. So much success to you and much respect. We thank you so much for taking the time out tonight to come by and talk with us and all of that.
Thank y'all for having me.
Oh, most
thank
definitely.
Y'all, y'all been good, brother. Since I've known y'all for 2 years. So y'all been real good to me.
Yes, it has been a minute, right? It's like bam, almost. Well, we're not gonna hold you hostage all night, so we appreciate you so much. And your fans know how to reach you? Did you shout out your Twitters and your networks for everybody to contact you?
I don't think I did. My Twitter, my Instagram is gonna be aspect underscore in between each letter. I also have a fan page on Facebook that I'm really active on, aspect on there. Also check Jamal Ingram on Facebook, Twitter. You know, excellent manager, very loyal, genuine. If you have any questions, please holler at him as well. The gallery coming out Halloween, October 31st, first thing in the morning. And if y'all have any questions, definitely hit me on Global 14 as well. Thank y'all for having me.
Most definitely. We got your record. We will be playing that joint, Lyrically Untouchable. Loved it. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed evening.
Yes, yes. Much respect, Aspect, man. Keep it going, brother. We got your back 100%.
Much love. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Oh, I love a humble spirit. I love a humble personality, all of that. He's dope. He's dope. I'm always been a fan of the Aspect music, so it's great to have him on the line tonight and hit a new joint. And Mrs. Bleak and all of them, Mickey, all of them was dope. So I love that record.
Love
I can't wait to
Bleak's
play it again.
Voice.
Yes.
Man,
yes.
I loved hearing Mrs.
It was
Bleak's
nice.
Voice, man. I haven't heard Bleak in a minute, man. It feels good to hear Bleak. And I think he out there doing with some Freeway right now. I just saw that on Instagram, him and Freeway doing some shows, so. Old Rockefeller buddies getting out there and getting
out
of the
house. You gotta love that, man. You gotta love that. I missed that whole era, so I'm glad to see that coming back and on the scene. Also, I'm glad to see this next guest coming up on the line, Mimi Frost from Love and Hip Hop ATL.
Yes.
It was great to touch down to their season 2 premiere, and now here we are. It's like at the end of season 2 almost, right? I believe the finale's coming up. So
that was the perfect time, man. I'm glad we were able to, you know, lock that in. A lot of fireworks going on Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. A lot of craziness going on. And we got to ask Mimi all about it. Shit, we got Benzino coming next week. So it's going to be a Love & Hip Hop Atlanta.
It really is. For a couple of weeks coming up, we're going to have Mama D also. So, you know, we had an opportunity to really touch base with everybody when we went out there to ATL. So it's going to be nice to, and I'm glad it's the season finale. We're getting all of them on real quick. Let's do it. So coming up
man,
next
it's
week.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And everybody that's
really
listening,
is.
Make sure you call in and ask Mimi them questions. You know, y'all got them questions. All the y'all talk about Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. It trends every time on Twitter, on Nationwide when it comes on. So I know y'all got questions. So hit us up. Ask Mimi. Let's get it in.
That's what I was going to say. Ask Mimi. Hashtag Ask Mimi. Let's get it in. Let's go ahead and drop a record real quick before Mimi comes on the line. I love this joint. And he's actually one of Jermaine Dupri first discovered Anthony Hamilton by the mixtape. So remember that when he told us about how Deb was the only artist that he ever accepted a demo from and actually signed to a record deal. So let's drop this joint, Anthony Hamilton, Love It, called Best of Me. Bring Mimi on the line, going down tonight on The Cut.
Close. I dump them and then fade away. I give it good so some of them won't stay away. They try to lock me up, but I break away. Until the day I lay my eyes on the princess, and you can tell she was a dime from a distance. It took a minute to come to my senses. She's the perfect match of God as my witness. Now for the first time I've opened my eyes, put my glass in the earth, now I'm toasting the sky. Feels like I'm in heaven and I'm hoping to fly. Baby girl, come along for the ride, you know why I can fly. So shy, you got them shaking in their boots, and I know why, cause they can't handle the truth, and that's no lie. As for me, I'm the one that you've been dreaming on, and when you saw me, I'm the one that you were scheming on, and when you need it, I'm the shoulder you'll be leaning on. Take off that Gucci and keep the Biggie secrets on. Let's take a flight, cause the world is our playground, and buy houses from the loop to the A-town. It's silk sheets, so it's soft when you lay down. Ching-a-ling, yeah, I get down and stay down. There's no one better, baby girl, you's a blessing. You got me headed in a positive direction. You got my vote when you re-up for election, cause all I wanna do is give you love and affection.
Already goes down. G14 ready to cut. That was "You Ain't Never Seen a Girl Look So Fly Like Me." I bet you ain't never knew that we got Mimi on the line live with us right now. How are you?
Ain't even
I'm
know
good.
It.
What's up?
Ain't even
know,
we
it.
Had Mimi on the line right now.
And you ain't even know it.
Yo, Mimi, we're so happy to have you on the line. First of all, I'd just like to say congratulations on the success of the show. Congratulations, just yourself, period. There's a lot of things that we got to talk about, but your journey on that show, from anybody mm-hmm. that has been following it from the beginning, has been a very introspective one. And we just want to get into those questions. Again, thank you for taking your time out, coming on the show. And we really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to get into it because we know we're probably going to have callers that want to call in and ask Mimi some questions. But first of all, we'd like to learn a little bit about yourself. Could you tell the audience where you're from originally? And
originally,
how did
yes.
you get casted on Love of Hip Hop Atlanta?
Okay, first question. Originally, I was born in Virginia and lived there for 3 years, and I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, lived there for six, seven years, and then I moved to L.A. So I grew up most of my years in L.A.
Okay.
I got casted for Love & Hip Hop. Do you guys know Hannah Kang? She was Chief T.I.'s GM.
I have heard of her. I have heard of her. I don't know her personally, though.
Okay, well, T.I.'s general manager sent me a text message. She's my good girlfriend. And she said, do you and Stevie want to go out for the casting of Love & Hip Hop Atlanta? They're doing an Atlanta show. This was on a Monday, and that's all she said. So I hit her back. I said, I need more information. Like, that's it? Like, what? So she says, Wednesday, Mansion Hotel, 4 o'clock. That's it. So Stevie and I, you know, we was kind of, you know, we was arguing at the time. So I hit him a text. I said, you want to go out for this casting for Love & Hip Hop? Just like that. He beat me there. We get there, have an argument in the lobby of the hotel, and they picked us just like that.
Hilarious. How about so you got Stevie on the show. Y'all arguing
right
in the lobby, and that's how it was. But so you made Stevie a star.
Thank you. For everybody who got it messed up and misconstrued, yes, that was my call.
I love it. I love it. That's so exclusive right there, Mimi, because everybody's thinking, you know, Mimi's his baby's mother. She's getting famous because Stevie. No.
Please.
Mimi, the lovely Mimi Foss, made Stevie the star. I love
that.
That
was my call.
That's why we got to ask these questions. That's what's up. So when you guys got picked to do the show, you know, reality show, big culture, everybody looks at them. I mean, they're basically taking over sitcoms. Knowing that your lives were going to be tapped into in such a personal level, how did you feel about that at first? Were you comfortable with when they said, we want you guys?
I had no idea. I had no idea what it was going
to
be. It happened so fast. I never thought or dreamed that they would pick us like that, and that it would, that the ball would get rolling so fast. So I really didn't have time to assess the situation and think how this was going to affect my life and every
right
aspect. So it just happened fast, y'all. It just happened fast. I didn't have time to think about it, assess it, and none of that. We went down there. We got shows. We started filming just like that.
Boom. And then now you got a superstar show with superstar cast. I mean, you guys' life have catapulted. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit because in the beginning of the show, when the show originally started, you and your father, that whole storyline, that was real introspective into your life. And getting to see those scenes, and what was that like for you? Because I'm sure that personal journey on, you know, getting to know your father and things of that nature was something that was personal for you and that some people would like to do in private, and you did it right there on national television.
I mean, my life is pretty open. I really don't have a lot of secrets or you know, it's just what it is. What you see is what you get with me, and I'm not putting on. I'm the same girl. If you see me right now, I'm at the hair salon right now, and I had to tell my hairdresser, I got to go outside and do this interview. So I'm at the hairdresser outside on the phone with my hair half done doing this interview. I'm just a real chick. Like real life shit, and this is what it is. No putting on for me. It's my life, so I deal with it as it comes.
Nah, we love that, and I think that's why you're like one of the favorite characters, not even character, one of the favorite people on Love & Hip Hop, because you are so real. I mean, we see you get arguments on that show, Mimi, where your nose is touching other people's noses. You get all up in their face and make sure they understand you. When you get into those confrontations and you look back at season to season, do you say to yourself, wow, I came this close to fighting that person for real, and like, I got to tone that down a little bit? There's a guy on Global... She said no. There's a guy on Global 14. I'm going to shout him out because he told me, like, tell Mimi, I think she's so beautiful, but she cannot continue to get up in men's faces like that. I don't want anything to happen to her face. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask Mimi for you. Does she give a shit about getting up in a nigga face? But you just told
me, not
no.
If he disrespects me. No, I don't. If he disrespects me, what? Nigga, what? No, I don't care nothing about if you're going to do something to me, then we're going to deal with the repercussions after the fact. But I'm going to get in your face and let you know how the fuck I feel, period.
Oh, man. Yo, we loving this right now, man. Because there was an infamous rant, Mimi, that you did right at the big homie JD spot that went viral. And you was just telling people like it is, like, stay the fuck out of my shit. This is me. Y'all bitches act like y'all don't got nothing personal going on with your life. Bitch, you ain't perfect. And everybody was like, whoa, like, not only
that's
is Mimi beautiful, she's a firecracker. And you did tell the truth. What made you go on that rant that night at JD's spot?
It wasn't really a rant. I've known JD for many years. That's what we do when we get together. We talk shit. We do it every time we get together. We just start talking shit. That's what we do. So this was no different. That night was no different than any other time I'd have been at JD's studio, and we just sat around and we had a couple drinks and we talked shit. It was the same thing. My bottom line that night was, all y'all that's judging me, bitch, you've been cheated on too, so stop it. Stop trying to act like you so perfect and this has never happened to you. The situation that I was in might not have, but bitch, you've been cheated on. Men been cheated on, women been cheated on, and like I said, everybody under the sun has been cheated on, so stop trying to act like I'm the only one, and I'm so stupid, and this, and get the fuck out of here. I'm a regular person, I've been cheated on just like the rest of you motherfuckers, so let's be clear on that. Period. Stop trying to act like I'm just, you know, I'm the only one in America, in the whole world this has happened to. Get out of here with that. I bet you if I turn the camera on some of these other people's lives, that everybody will be watching y'all too, like, oh my God, because y'all got some shit. Don't front.
Right. No,
please,
and you know, when we saw that, we thought it was so real and like, wow, just really imagine if the camera was turned on a lot of these people out here. It would be basically the same thing. Everybody has things going on in their life that somebody might be like, wow, I didn't know that was going on. And that's just what happens when the cameras are turned on. So it was very real. And I think a lot of people felt it. And that's when they started getting into Mimi. Like, I remember, like, you were such a big part of this show because of the Stevie J storyline and things of that nature. But when people start seeing who you were and were like, yo, this girl don't take no shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were really like, yo, we like Mimi. She's strong, you know what I'm saying? So that leads to my next question. Atlanta, Georgia seems to have a lot going on, especially entertainment-wise and musically. I read somewhere that you were musically inclined. Was that did I read that right, that you were musically inclined? Did you ever used to do something in entertainment?
No, I've never done anything musically. Don't ask me to sing. Mm-hmm. If you do, you would put one in the face because I cannot sing. I sound like a dog being murdered. I've been around music people my whole life, though. I've always been around entertainers and people in the music business. So not that please, I don't want anybody to get it messed up. I do not sing. I'm not trying to sing. I don't do any of that. I know a lot of people in the business. Yes.
Okay. Now, I just had to clear that up. I had read somewhere where they were saying that Mimi used to dance or something, and I was like, well, let me find out if Mimi
not
out there cutting the rug somewhere.
Yes, they used to call
me Soul
Train
and
Dance Machine.
Right.
Down, yes.
Okay,
it would be me in the
that's
mirror.
What they said.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. you was doing that in the comforts of your own shit. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. But I did read you could cut a rug. So I was like, okay, she's dancing. Maybe she'll bust something out on the show one day. But you saying don't ask you to do none of that shit. You ain't with doing none of that shit.
If you just catch me, like, the thing about it is when Love and Hip Hop films, it's not really a natural type setting. If you catch me in a natural type setting, oh, yeah, I'll dance. I'll dance all night.
All right. That's what's up. So, we got to get into the infamous, this dude. And now that we know that you're the cause of this, it's even crazier. You know, we're going to go head first with that big time because I think people need to know that. But Stevie J, has become like a king to a lot of men out here.
And it's
like,
terrible. It's awful. It's awful that men look up to him for what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's sickening. Really. And
some guy on my Facebook
our kids?
Wants him for right. See, that's the thing I wanted to talk to you about. Some guys on my Facebook, they want Stevie J to run for president. Some guys on you know, it's two sides of it. And we wanted to know how you felt about it. There's guys mm-hmm. that want Stevie J to run for president. He's the man. Oh, Stevie J's that nigga. Then there's other guys that's like, yo, man, all black men ain't like this cat. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, Stevie J need to chill. You know what I'm saying? He's going a little bit too crazy. When you being in an actual relationship with Stevie J, having a child from Stevie J, what do you think about the way people are seeing him out here in America, in the, well, you know, what he's getting from it? Basically, I love Stevie J, or nah, I don't want that to portray me. How do you feel about that, being, you know, the mother of his child?
I mean, being the mother of his child, I think it's disgusting. Stevie has three girls and two boys, and these children are looking up to this man, and what example is he setting for his young sons? And then really, what example is he setting for his daughters, that you disrespect mm-hmm. women and treat women so foul? I mean, I think it's horrible. Thank you so much.
Right.
But the fact that he is doing it, and he's doing it, you know, for TV, and he's, you know, thinks this is cool, it's, I think one day he will look back on this and he'll be ashamed of it. One day. Right now it's all good and it's fun and he's in the limelight and people are praising him. But I think one day when he grows the fuck up, he will look back on this and he's going to be ashamed of his behavior. And that's real talk.
Nah, that, and that's what we want to hear coming from you. Because nobody's out here, you know, to judge him from afar. At least I don't. But I like to ask the questions of people that are close to the situation. I saw that he said in an interview the other day that at first his daughters couldn't stand that he was on the show. Now,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, he's bringing home the bacon and stuff like that, they're like, oh, my daddy's the guy from Love & Hip Hop of Atlanta. And I'm like, wow, like, so they actually going out there and saying that, and then somebody tunes in and seeing Stevie J just really act
but
like
then again,
that towards women?
Let's look at this. Let's look at this.
Mm-hmm.
If your teenage daughters are, oh, that's my dad, Stevie J, because you're bringing home money, but the reason and the whole situation, how you're getting your money, I don't know. I don't know if his daughters are really looking at that. He has a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old, so I don't know if they're looking at it how he's really getting this money. Yeah, he's getting money, and he's able to buy you this and that, but how is he getting it? All money ain't good money
mm-hmm.
at
mm-hmm.
the end of the day.
No, you're right.
So they might just be looking at, oh, my daddy's bringing home the money, but look how he's doing it. Once again, this is all going to come, you know, back on him. So, you know, we'll just watch this movie unfold, because I'm sitting back. I'm going to watch all this shit unfold and laugh.
Yo, Mimi, you're hilarious, man, because you're so real. And it's just like, yo, I'm going to look back at this shit and I'm going to laugh, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna laugh with, but, you know, it's very real to a lot of people that watch this show, because especially with the climate of the, you know, what's going on in America right now and how people don't want people to be portrayed like this or them to see a certain race like that. So it's a conversation that everybody's having, but we're not going to get too deep and get all into that on you.
We can get deep. I don't mind. If you want to get deep, let's go. We can get light.
Yeah, well, you know,
deep, whatever you want to do.
Nah, and we appreciate that, Mimi, because, you know, we have an audience that are fans of the show, but there is a lot of other things going on out in the world. And we don't mm-hmm. want to just be that show that's asking you about, hey, you know what I'm saying, Arian said she liked women. How you feel about, yeah, that's all cool, but, you know, you play a part in this show, and it's not even playing a part. Like I said, it's your life that people
yeah.
look at, and they're like, wow, you know what I'm saying? She has a daughter by Stevie J. Look how Stevie J does her. Look at this, look at that. But it's so good to hear you say, look, this is the shit I have to deal with. It is very real. And
right.
telling, because there's a lot of girls out here listening and they want to know who Mimi really is, and they probably going through some same shit, but to see how you have come out, you're stronger for it. You have, I think, a children's clothing line. You have your own homemade service, which we want to get into all of that because mm-hmm. I just think that's important for them to know.
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
All right, but as soon as right before we get into that, we got to get in the homie with the hat, with the your man Nico. What is that
yes,
about?
Mr. Nico Smith.
Nico
ask,
Smith.
Ask, ask away.
Was that a, so that was something genuine that you and him were trying to embark on. What happened with Nico? Because at first he seemed like he was really into you, and then it mm-hmm. all just fell apart. Was he just putting on for cameras, or what happened?
No, I'm going to tell you what happened. It's a funny thing when you get on television. It's a real funny thing happens to people. Either you can handle it well, or you not so much, or it's a real funny thing. But it was, the being on television was one aspect of it, and also he was pretty unsure. He kept thinking I was going to get back with Stevie. So he looking at me sideways, like, you know, I'm dealing with him, but he's still thinking I'm having his sidebar with Stevie all the time. That's what went wrong with us. So I'm sure a lot of people did. A lot of people, oh, she's going to get back with him. She's going to get back with him. Everybody thought that. And he thought it as well. So that's basically what happened with Nico and I. That was
wow.
a wedge
okay.
our relationship. Like you about to get back with this nigga, so why am I about to, you know, give you my all and be do this and that for you when, you know, he still thought I was fucking with Stevie. I'm like, are you
right.
serious? This nigga's fucking right. a prostitute. Are you serious?
No.
No.
Oh,
I'm not running behind her. Let's
oh,
be clear.
The Puerto Rican princess, huh?
Let's be clear. Ain't nobody
wow.
trying to run behind that. Not me. Maybe somebody else
I
might.
You.
I'm not trying to run behind that. So
that is hilarious, man. I'm telling you right now, so many players in this show make it so interesting. Let's get into her. You did talk about her. We plan on getting into her. Jocelyn Hernandez, the Puerto Rican princess, self-proclaimed Puerto Rican princess. There's rumors that her and Stevie J got married.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a thorn was Jocelyn?
How big what?
Oh, had a little bit of technical difficulties there, but I'm sorry about that. How big of a thorn was Jocelyn Hernandez in your side throughout the early parts of this show? Because we've seen you get real, you damn near knocked Stevie out one time. So we know all of that's real. What did Jocelyn do in you guys' relationship that made you be like, nigga, can't you see what's going on here? And then just say, you know what, do what you want to do.
She's basically a woman who doesn't give a damn. Not one fuck about anything. She will, if whatever. And I'm not a whatever kind of bitch. So if that's what you want, you want a bitch that's going to do whatever and be down for whatever, and you got that. I put my hands up because I'm not trying to compete with a whatever kind of bitch, and that's who she is. So if that's
right.
what you want, you got that. I got morals. I got standards. I got all of that. She has none of that. So if you want a bitch with no morals, no standards, no nothing, homeboy, you got that hands down. Period.
That's it. Period.
Period.
Now, when you saw, was there a point in time, because I think the scene in the bathroom where you almost smacked the shit out of Stevie, what was she hanging around, was that just because I don't want her around my daughter? Like, you do whatever you want with her, but don't have her around
that was kid. For that was for a couple of reasons. One, it was my daughter. Two, that he would not defend me. That I took personal.
Right.
That's it. Her calling me a maid, I could give a shit about her calling me a maid. I could give a shit about her calling me anything, whatever comes out of her mouth. She says a lot of shit. She lies all the time about a whole lot of stuff. I don't care. You can call me whatever you want. Who the fuck are you? You mean nothing to me.
Right.
It was him not defending me that pissed me off. Let's be clear. Because everybody's like, why were you so mad? She called you a maid. You have a cleaning business. I wasn't mad about that. It was the fact that him, my daughter's father, at that point in time, did not defend me. Period.
Right. No, and I understand, man, especially, like you said, that relationship right there, you know, he should have been like, listen, this is your place, and your place is not to speak on Mimi
and he doesn't
or
do
my
that.
Daughter, and
he doesn't do
that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because some people, you know, they ask me, is it? Because, you know, we touched down in Atlanta, Onyx and I, and we were there at the launch party. And it was a pleasure meeting you. You probably don't remember because you meet so many people. But that's where I met Melissa. Shout out to Mel Love, who's out on the town at some exclusive event like she always is.
Yes.
The Blazing Queen. Shout out, Mel. We met. And the thing me and Onyx took away from that was like, wow, you know, these people, first of all, you were absolutely stunning that night. You're always looking beautiful.
Thank you.
But everybody in that place was basically like, check out this show. This is our lives. But when the question and answer part came on, it almost got a little turned up in there. Y'all really don't hesitate to say what y'all want to say to these people that are on this show.
Mm-mm.
Does that happen all the time you guys are together?
Yes, because that people will come out of their mouth and ask us the most heinous questions. Like, I literally had someone ask me when I was doing an interview like I'm doing with you right now, how good is Stevie J's dick? A woman that was interviewing me asked me this question.
Wow.
So...
Wow.
Really, girl?
Wow.
And my response to her was, you go find them, you fuck them, and then you come back and tell me how the dick was. Because I'm not about to answer that question for you.
Well, there's one thing for damn sure tonight on this show. I won't be asking you shit about Stevie J's dick. And
who
that's for damn
that?
Sure. Yeah,
who
that's crazy.
And when I refuse to answer... She asked me three more times in, like, three different ways. How's it? What? Girl, if you want to know that bad, you go fuck the nigga and then you find out for yourself. I'm not about to sit here. Go ask Jocelyn. He fucking her right now. Go ask her how the dick is. Are you serious?
Wow.
Yeah, I get asked some crazy shit.
Nah, it sounds like it's crazy. And, I mean, y'all go at these bloggers and reporters. I remember Kay Michelle going off on somebody from Bossip magazine at an interview that she did. Let me ask you one more question, then I'm gonna bring our other host Onyx on because she has a lot of questions about your business and everything. We want our audience to know about everything you're doing. But the bloggers, the people with the opinions, Mimi is crazy for letting that shit go on. Mimi's self-esteem must be low as shit. Kay Michelle is, she ain't never got beat by that nigga. Everybody with their opinions. How do you guys deal with that? Don't you feel like really going to jail with some of these cats out here? Sometimes, like, just punching some of these people in their face. How do you guys deal with that scrutiny all the time?
The bottom line that I had to really sit down and come to grips with everyone and their opinions from Twitter to Instagram to bloggers. And, I mean, from day one, what has everyone said? Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. And that's just the bottom line. I can't be bothered about what you think about me in Idaho, a motherfucker that don't know me. I can give a shit what you feel about me and your opinion about me. Do you pay my bills? Absolutely not. Thank you for watching the show, though. I appreciate it. But at the end of the day, what you feel about me, someone who has no idea about me and doesn't know me from a hole in the wall, I can give a shit. So guess what? I'm going to keep it moving. I got to keep it moving. I got a three-year-old I got to look after and think about. So I'm looking forward. I could give a shit about a blogger, a motherfucker on Instagram talking shit. They do it every day. Okay?
Wow.
Every day.
I want a book for Mimi. Just with sayings
it's on
that
this
tell
table
people
right
where
now.
To fucking... Oh, love it. I'm loving it. I just want to hear you tell people to go fuck themselves 20 different ways like you know how to do. Like, you... I love that shit about you, man. Yo, next time we meet, I need a hug. That's it, man. Just like, yo, this one the realest out here.
Absolutely.
I love it, man, because I'm telling you, a lot of people wouldn't be able to take that shit how y'all take it. And, you know, we got Benzino coming on next week, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to be asking him some of these same type of questions, but in a different perspective from a male perspective. But I wanted to know from you, the strong female that's out there having their live show, because you know, I know the insults. I know, like you said, these
mm-hmm.
people thinking they know everything. I know that could... kind of get to a person sometimes, so it's very good that you know, listen, these people don't do shit for you. They're always going to have an opinion, and that's what's up. So just know we love you over here, Mimi, and we got you back 100% at Global 14, G14 Radio. I'm going to bring Onyx on because she got some questions for you. But, man, just an awesome, awesome person, man. We gonna rep Mimi in the highest form over here.
All right,
thank
well, maybe
you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. And I know you at the hair salon, and we have a couple people. I got to tell you, the lines is blown up right now. They're kind of listening. You giving them all what they want to know. And we do have someone that wants to come on with a question. But I had a few that I wanted to ask you myself. One in particular, one thing that I noticed on the show is that, of course, you know, you guys, they'll show the scene, and then it shows y'all talking about, you know, the scene and what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any a time where you're watching? Like, how does that even work? Do y'all film
okay.
that after the fact?
It's called a webisode. So after we shoot the scene, and mind you, we don't get to see anything. And only we know what we shoot. I don't know what any other cast member shoots but myself. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know anything that's going on. I actually watch the show when you guys watch the show. So when they call us
wow.
in to do these webisodes, it's like a little treat because now we get to see what's going on, you know, behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
what happened, what they filmed, what they kept after editing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little treat. So they call us in to do a webisode, and they show us little clips. They don't show us the whole thing. They show us a little clip and then have us comment on it so they can put it on each one's blog. And that's just basically what it is.
Okay, because I always wondered, like, okay, how is this happen? Of course, you piece it together and figure, okay, this had to be a separate time, and this had to be after the fact. So
right.
my thing is, there's ever a time when you're watching that and you're hearing the other chicks, their little comments, or the other dudes, their little comments, and is there ever a time you're like, what? You know, take it back
no,
by what they say?
No, we don't get to hear that. We don't get to hear the other people's comments. When we film it, all they're showing us is a small little clip, maybe 5 minutes of a clip, and then we comment. We don't get to hear anybody else's comment. We don't see any of that until it's
wow.
posted up on the blog. Yeah, no,
wow.
they don't show us all of that. Uh-uh.
Wow. Okay, so you watch it literally with us through
correct.
The season.
And let me tell you how this shit goes down. For everybody that thinks the show is scripted, it is not. There's no script. There's none of that. Let me tell you how this works for Love and Hip Hop. They tell us, your call time is 11 a.m. A car will be at your house to pick you up. They don't even let us drive, okay? A car
mm-hmm.
comes and picks us up, takes us to hair and makeup. We get our hair and makeup done, we get dressed. Then we get in another car, which takes us to the location where they're shooting the scene. Once we get to the location, 5 minutes before, a producer will say, this is what this scene is about, and they just throw you to the wolves.
Ooh.
That's how this goes down. We don't know anything ahead of time. We don't know who we're shooting with. We don't know shit until 5 minutes before that camera is rolling and you step into the room, and then I got Stevie and Jocelyn in the motherfucking room and I got to deal with it.
Right.
That's how it goes down.
Right. That is crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. And I kind of took that away when we touched down to that launch party. I was like, this is not no scripted show. This is really how they get down.
No.
Like, it's really going down in here, and it was that scene. So it got, like Golden said, it did get a little live. Well, I want to ask you, one thing I did take away from the show and with you was, and I got into it a little late, I'm not even going to front, like I didn't even get an opportunity to watch it until late into the season, and so definitely when we got invited to the party, I was like, I got to make sure I watch every episode beginning to end. I can't miss nothing. And I went and did the whole VH1 thing and watched everything. And one thing that I learned was that you already had your own company, your own business. You was already doing your own thing, and it had nothing to do with Stevie J and his money. So can you clarify that some more for the audience? I know you mentioned it earlier, but tell us about your business and how long you've been doing your business and you know, just go from there.
Let's be clear. I've been an independent woman my whole life. I've been on my own since I was 13. I've been on my own working since I was a young girl. Not fucking, okay? Y'all got choices in life. I've been working. I started my business. I've had my business 13 years now. It's a cleaning business. And I got started at a party, house party. I was at a house party. Call me OCD, whatever the fuck you want to call me. I don't care. The party was winding down. Everybody was in the kitchen chopping it up, and the mess in the kitchen was driving me insane. And I'm looking around like, I can't take it, all them red cups and shit. I couldn't take it. I start cleaning up. So the guy who owned the home was like, who cleaned the kitchen? I had the whole kitchen spotless. He made a joke like, damn, you going to come back tomorrow and clean the rest of the house? I said, you going to pay me? He was like, yeah.
I'm ready.
I went back the next day. I cleaned his house. He became my first client. He referred me to a friend. That's how I got started. And the guy that I was dating at the time was like, why don't you just make this official? Like, you like doing it. You're making money. So I did. I went down. I got incorporated. The whole nine yards. But I've had this since for 13 years. So I've had my business for that long. Without Stevie, with Stevie, I've made my own money. I wasn't just Stevie's baby mama. I've had my own business forever. When she was fucked up with him, I was taking care of everything. That's how I do when I'm with you. When I'm with somebody, if it ain't right, I'm not going to leave a nigga just because his shit ain't right. I'm going to take care of it if we together. That's what real bitches do.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I feel you on that. That's 100 right there. And that's interesting to know that that's how you began your cleaning business. I mean, you took that opportunity. You created your own opportunity and went from there, and that's just real dope. So also in saying that, then, you have people that look, you know, like Golden said, the blogs, and people that want to say you weak or you this and that because you've been cheating on all that kind of stuff, and you touched on that. And so you also have the women that look at you and say, this is a strong woman to put up with so much and still even be able to move forward and do the co-parenting thing, still be able to move forward and want to date again and still be able to run her business and no money has been lost. So how is it important is it to you, even though this is your life now being on national TV, to be a role model type figure, especially being a mother of a daughter?
It is very interesting because I never thought that I would be put in this position, but because I am in this position, I'm just not going to waver from who I am. I am who I am. I've been this person from day one. I'm not going to waver from who I am. So if people look up to me, I think that's a beautiful thing because I've been a strong person from the beginning. I just want to make something clear. We want to look at strong and weak. I've never begged. I've never cried and begged. I've never begged nobody to be with me, marry me, none of that shit. I've never done any of that. Who's begging and crying for somebody right now? To me, that's a weak-ass bitch. I'm not begging no man to marry me for shit. If you want to marry me, you're going to do it, period.
Yeah.
I'm not daddy, do this, daddy, thank you for wearing my ring, kissing a nigga's hand. That's some weak-ass shit if you ask me. Ain't no real bitch kissing no nigga hand saying thank you, daddy, for wearing my motherfucking ring. That's some weak-ass shit right there.
Yeah.
I just want to say that, put that out there. In the beginning, it was, I'm straight up, in the beginning, it was all I give a fuck about is the dick and the money. Bitch, shut the fuck up. No, you don't. You're a weak-ass bitch. Not me. Who cry every episode? That bitch. Crying. Begging. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, y'all. Let's pay attention to what's really going on. Y'all not paying attention. Everybody calling me weak. Look at what the fuck is really going on. I was trying to hold my family together. I wasn't begging a motherfucker to marry me, buying a nigga ring, spending no money. Fuck out of here.
Yo, that's real. That's straight up like that. And I promise you, this week I kind of looked and I said, wait a minute, what's going on there? There was new. That was a new situation. I don't know too many real chicks that do that as well. So I don't know how the fellas was looking at it, but I'm kind of looking at it the same way you looking at it. I can't even act like I wasn't. So, yeah.
She puts on this
good
tough
point.
Exterior to camouflage her hurt. She's really hurting, and I feel bad for her because she's been through a lot of shit. But once again, like I said, we all have choices in life. I was put out at a young age, too. I could have chose to go sell pussy and lay on my back, but I did not. We got choices in this motherfucker. So let's be clear on that.
Like that. Say like that. Well, then also the clothing line, is it you're beginning to start a children's line? Is that what we're hearing?
The apparel line. Yes, inspired by my daughter. It's a lot of times I go shop for Eva. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I want cute but still comfortable clothes because kids have to roll around on the floor and get dirty and this and that. But I still want the clothes to be durable but still cute.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to put out. Stuff that, you know, these Hollywood moms and everybody else, not just Hollywood moms, but I want it to be affordable. I want it to be in every Target where everybody can go get it. I'm not trying to just appeal to a certain market. I want it to be where everybody can buy this children's clothing line, and it's cute, and you know, oh, my God, this would be great, or I can take my son or daughter here or there. I can take him to an event, or I can take him to the park. So that's my goal.
That's
affordable,
awesome,
comfortable, and still cute children's wear.
That's what's up. And then what are the ages? When are you going to, is it going to be childhood age, 8, 10,
it'll
7,
be,
6?
It'll be toddler to like 12, 13 years old to, you know, the tweens.
Okay. And this will be not just girl apparel, but boy apparel as well.
Girls and boys, yeah. Because a lot of times you can find really cute stuff for girls, and then the boys, you're like, what is this?
That's what I've run into. I have two boys. They're twins, 8 years old. And I try to. Yes. So I'll be feeling you. When you be talking about the parent, I'll be like, yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah,
I know
for the boys,
all about
it. Khakis and just polos. Like, no, we need some fly stuff for the boys, too.
We really do. Something I can afford, you know, straight like that. So thank you for that. I will be looking out for the line. Do you have a name as well?
Not yet. I'm still trying to get something catchy. I wanted to name it after my daughter, but that's not going to be cool for the boys. So I want to get something universal.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you so much. I know that we had some couple of callers on the line. I want to ask you some questions, so I want to bring them on and let them have an opportunity to speak with you because they're really excited. The first question comes from Ladybug, and she's on the line. Ladybug, you're by with G14 Ready to Cut.
Hey,
Ladybug. What's going on, girl?
Chillin', baby. I feel like I know you. I'm making some crazy about it. And I'm to be honest, on Twitter, I'm Miss Bug 1980.
Okay.
So you probably don't
see. Look for you.
Please do. But I want to let you know, like, I love you to death. You know what I'm saying? I love your own boss. You know what I'm saying? With your business, as well as holding it down with baby daddy, because I got two of them. So it's
right.
Like, I've dealt with it, you know what I'm saying? I've dealt with the drama, the whole nine. And I'm 31. I just had a birthday July 22nd.
Happy
so
belated.
Like, thank you, baby. Thank you. I'm doing it up this weekend. But I'm just like, I don't have time for the drama. So I feel you. And just to be able to watch something that's just not so fake looking, it really shows me something different. It shows me how to go ahead and keep it motivated and not worry about the drama, not worry about everybody. I'm baby mama. I'm going to always be here. Like you said with Stevie, I got a tie with you regardless because I got a baby with you. So, like, all the extra bullshit, excuse my French, but keep it for the birds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't
but I
want to
know. I feel you even when I'm watching it. I ain't trying to watch nobody. Mama D keep it crunk, but I want to see some realness. I'm tired of looking at all the, and I'm in Texas, so I'm not even in Atlanta and all of that. I'm in Texas and we watching you down here. But, like, I want to know, like, what keeps you motivated? What keeps you striving? You know, even though what you deal with Stevie and Jocelyn, to me, she, like you say, she a hoe. You can't turn a hoe into no housewife. I mean, you can't hear your blame. Not even here in Texas. So even if she came this way, it's not about to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, but I want to know what keeps you motivated with, besides your baby. I know your baby is going to do that regardless, and I know the Lord is in you, period, to be able to hold what they be putting you through. But I see every time that you constantly motivated. You don't let nothing bother you, even when K. Michelle did her thing. You know, oh, girl, get it together. You know, I mean, I'm good. I know how to turn it on and turn it off, too. So that's what you gotta be able to do.
Every day when I wake up, I got a certain amount of things on my plate. Did God put it on my plate or whomever put it on my plate? And guess what? I got to deal with that. So you got to just deal with it. There's no rule book or formula. You deal with what's on your plate when you wake up in the morning. I really don't know the answer to that. I get up in the morning, I got this, and this I got to deal with, and I check it off. I deal with one thing and I check it off.
But it is overwhelming, though, right?
It is overwhelming. Hell yes, overwhelming. I'd be lying to you if I said it wasn't.
It's extremely
overwhelming. But you know what? What you going to do? You going to give up or you going to deal with it and keep it the fuck moving?
Exactly.
We can't give up.
The more you keep it moving, the more they're going to wag along, though. The baby daddy, they're going to be trying to continue to get in somewhere just because they see you motivated and they see you trying to do what you need to do.
But guess what I stopped doing? I stopped worrying about what the fuck he cares about, period.
Exactly.
I don't care what he cares about. I'm doing me, period. If he cares about it, that's all fine and good. But me, I'm not concerned what he cares about. Because to me, all you're concerned about is a hoe. So I'm going to keep it moving forward. Fuck you and that bitch.
And that hoe, okay?
Period.
Exactly.
And that keeps me motivated.
You loving
a hoe right now? Good, nigga, because that keeps me motivated that you loving a whack-ass hoe. So that keeps me motivated.
Amen.
Now, if the nigga was loving a motherfucking Halle Berry bitch, now I might feel some type of way. For real. I'm like, nigga, you so beneath me with this bitch right now. I'm laughing at you.
Right, that's what we say on national television.
But don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It still hurts that this nigga did this shit to me on national television. That shit still hurts. But the bitch
but
you
chose
is
it
so
beneath
me.
It didn't make you look like no fool. I'm telling you, it made you look like a boss to us. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but I know what I can say about myself. It made you look like a boss because you was able to handle it and not go off on nobody. And I told you that on Twitter. I'm like, you really, you did something different, you know what I'm saying, to me personally. And I appreciate it because I was one of the ones that would go out and go plumb off the chain.
But we got to put it in perspective.
Yes.
Let's put it in perspective. You know what I'm saying? I wish I would fight for a nigga who ain't fighting for me and who loving a fucking prostitute. I wish I would. Oh, my God.
And then she
want to
call you Molly the Maid. I'm like, oh, when she said that, it really did something to me. Because I'm like, really? He got you off the street. You want to call her Molly the Maid?
But did you
see
what she looked like? She just got off the fucking whole stroll. But you calling me Molly the Maid and I'm an entrepreneur. Are you,
you
serious?
You hear me? It came, girl. I was like, no, she didn't. I mean, I was on Facebook and Twitter.
That's why I turned around and I did a photo shoot and I capitalized off of her calling me a maid. I'm gonna make some money off you calling me a maid. That's what I'm gonna do.
And that's what you were supposed to do. So what kind of advice can you give us as grown women and not hood rats or hoes or nothing like that? But women is really trying to do what they need to do. I'm going to school for forensics, but I got
a lot behind me
that I've done. But I know I can't ever lose with forensics. But what kind of
the best piece of advice I can give to you is assess every situation that happens to you and put it in its proper perspective. And once you do that, you can think clearly and your mind's not clouded and you can move forward.
Right.
That's the best advice I can give you. If you react initially right off the rip, shit might go wrong. Put everything in its proper place. Just step back, think about it. Say, okay, put this here, put this there. Okay, I got it now. And then you can think clearly. Once you can think clearly, then you can move forward.
Exactly.
If you got to do some yoga, go stand by yourself for 10 minutes and get some fresh air. Go yell and scream and whatever it is you got bottled up, let that shit out. But you need to think clearly before you move forward. That's the best advice I can give you.
Exactly. That's what I needed. Even though, I mean, I knew it, but just to hear it, you know, from a woman that's already doing what she needs to be doing. And I can't say I'm not, because I got my own place, my own core. Screams and that, and then no man do
good
that, you know.
You,
so,
baby girl.
Like, I don't need you to be for material stuff. Like, I don't need to be with no man for material stuff. Because
right.
Anything that's material, I can go do that myself. So I'm gonna need you to hide and watch me come down your block bumping, and hope you don't try to ride me. You know what I'm saying? But and then I got people knocking on my door. Get away from my door! I'm talking to Mimi. But I was just like, you know, you're the best. I'm going to be like, hold on. But yeah, like, you're the best. You are the best.
Thank you.
I mean, I just got to let you know, even coming from Texas. And I've been thinking about coming to ATL, but.
You should come visit.
I would
definitely recommend you come visit and see if you like it. ATL kind of fools people because they come visit and have so much fun, and they move here, and they're like, oh, shit.
I don't even
want to
come for my business, so I'm like you. I don't even want to come
exactly.
For business.
Exactly.
I don't want to come to meet nobody. I love Scrappy to death, but I want him to get it together, you know. But
yes, Scrappy.
He reminds me of my brother.
So
I just want to come really to get it together and really find myself, but I'm too busy worrying about if I'm going to be able to be okay there.
Baby Bug, yeah. We thank you so much for calling in tonight. I mean, I'm over here just laughing. I got a couple of other callers that we need to bring on the line for Mimi. Thank you so much for calling in to speak
with
her.
Thank you, Ladybug. Thank you, Boo. You know I'm going to keep talking. You know I'm going to keep watching. And
thank you guys
for letting me get on, really.
You're welcome.
It's all good, Ladybug. Thanks for calling in. Y'all got a nigga up in here balled up in the corner feeling like, damn. All niggas, the niggas ain't shit out here. I'm over here in the motherfucking corner. Like, let me shut my damn mouth.
I was
going
to say, I know you over there feeling beat up. I was just about to
yeah,
say that.
But
let me
you
bring
know what? I ain't
well, okay. Well, let me.
I ain't nobody's baby daddy, so
yeah,
I don't have
ain't.
Those issues. But at the same time, a nigga feeling real shitty on this joint right now. Like, damn, niggas, we got to step it up, man.
Real shit. Well, let me bring on these next callers. I mean, Christian, I'm going to bring you live right now. You live with Mimi.
Hey, Mimi.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
I'm doing good, girl. This is Kristen.
What's going on, mama?
Nothing, just random. Just got the tweet to get on here, so I just got on and figured I would get on here and see what y'all was talking about.
You got a question for me? Anything you want to talk about, I'm going to answer it.
No, not really. I mean, what you think about Arian singing?
Okay, interesting. My girl Arian, what you guys saw, Arian was sick as a dog. She was sick. So I've heard Arian. I'm Arian going on 10 years now. She can really sing. She never wanted to promote it, but I think once she started doing Love and Hip Hop, she was like, well, shit, this is an outlet for me. Let me do it since it's an outlet. And then she'd be a fool not to. But that particular day when they wanted her to shoot, she was sick. It was just fucked up all across the board for her for that. It was bad.
True.
But she can sing. Like, I'm telling you, from me to you, she can really sing.
No, I know it. I've heard her sing before.
Yeah,
I heard her
sing
before. And, on the show, I was like, are y'all done playing, trying to have people looking foolish and whatnot? But it was cool. Dude tried to get her, too, with that FUBU outfit on, but
no,
I didn't let that go too far.
She crushed him so crazy, and they edited it out. She got him so she crushed the nigga, and they edited everything out.
He looked a mess anyway, so she didn't have to do too much. He looked like City Trans finest, but that was about it. I really have nothing to say, Mimi. You know, I was just calling just because.
Well, thank you
up.
For calling in.
Of course, Bo. Of course. I'll be coming to Atlanta soon, so I need you to push pause. I know you busy and whatnot, campaigning against pocket pussy and whatnot, so when you got time. And community pussy and community dick. When you got time, I'm going to let you know when I'm there.
I don't do the community shit.
Yes, honey. Take a stand against that community pussy and dick. It's for everybody. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, sir.
No,
not
ma'am.
Me.
Huh?
I said, not me.
Yeah, I don't do it either. It's running rampant in Ohio as well. I'm taking a stand.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. I'm going to take this next call from Lish out there in Cali. What's good, Lish? You vibe with Mimi?
How y'all doing out there? I just wanted
What's going on?
I just want to commend you on when you talk to Rashida's husband, because a lot of times women, we see things that happen and we are quick to go tell a woman what happened and be messy about the situation, but for you to take the stance and go and talk to her husband, that's old school. That's the way I was raised. And I just want to tell you that I love you for that, and just keep being real, keep it 100, and stay doing what you're doing, because at the end of the day, you have a daughter that's watching you. And it's just important, the things that we do as we're growing into women, that we have to be mindful, you know, of our lifestyles, our choices, because they don't only affect us and who are watching, but it affects our children. So I just want to tell you what I appreciate for that.
You know what? And there was, I want to add something else to that. A lot of people have been asking me what advice would I give Rashida going through her situation. And what I can say is I would never give Rashida any advice because, number one, I've never been married. So I cannot give Rashida advice on her situation. Number two, I will always be a shoulder for her to cry on. If she ever wants to talk or vent, I can do that for her as a friend.
Right.
But for me,
right,
to give Rashida advice on her situation, I cannot do because I'm not getting married and I've never been in her shoes. So,
that's real talk. And it's good when you know your place as a friend, you know, because being a friend is someone that will sometimes stick closer than a brother. And I just feel that you are a true friend and you're definitely a good person to have in your corner and just to know. And I just, you know, I just commend you for that. I watch the show, you know, and I keep it 100 when I see something real that's touching. And you touched on that situation. And I just, you know, I just take my hat off to you, girl.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Lish, I'm sorry, for calling in to speak with Mimi. I think we have one more caller that wanted to come on live and speak with you. Not quite sure. They act a little shy. Hey, call 760, you live with Mimi? Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, my name is Raven, and I'm currently following you on Twitter, is our anniversary, and I just wondered, I mean, how did you feel about the proposal when you was like, oh, but Jocelyn and Stevie J hadn't got married? How did you feel?
They didn't get married, number one. Number two, Jocelyn proposed to a man, number one, which I find just asinine. How did I feel about it? I didn't feel about it. I think it's ridiculous.
I don't understand her at all. I don't know. She looks like a wet eel in water.
Girl, no comment.
I don't.
My mother taught me, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it.
Yes.
You got anything else? I'll answer any other question.
No. I don't. Just that one.
Girl, I didn't. I've known Stevie for many years. If that's what he chooses to do, if he wants to lay down with a prostitute and a whore and marry her, so be it. And I'm going to keep it moving, period, dot. That's just what it is. I can't
spend my time worrying or being upset about it. Nigga, you made your decision and your choice, and guess what? You got that. Because if you think I'm going to double back and fuck behind that bitch, you're sadly mistaken. So go ahead. You got it. You
oh, my God. I just want you to got say, all that. I'm one of your fans. I love you to
thank
death.
You,
I mean, you keep the real show in. Don't let nobody, you know, come between what you have going on with your daughter and, you know, just keeping it real.
That's all I know how to do. This has been me from day one. And it was crazy because people said that I'm really trying to show, I'm showing who I really am on season two. No, that's not true. I was the same person on season one, but they would always edit it out. I think I cussed Stevie J out every single scene we had season one, and they never showed it. Ever. They showed that one scene when we was in front of the house, and that was it. That's all y'all got to see. But every single scene, I let that motherfucker have it. So I'm not just now coming into myself. You just really seeing who I really am, because they're starting to show me for who I really am. That's what it is.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, we appreciate you for your phone call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes, yes.
Bye.
Bye, baby.
I gotta tell you, Mimi, I've been rolling. I mean, I know y'all talking about I'm over here just weak.
Hilarious.
But the whole situation, I mean, the comments, the callers, everything, I mean, it is what it is. And I thank you for saying, you know, ask you anything and for you being so transparent and open, just like the show. And, I mean, you really are a down-to-earth real and also humble as well. I wanted to ask you this as well. I know we got to you wrapping up and it's time to get back under the dry and all of that. And that's, I know you had to do that. I wanted to ask you, how do you deal with the fame now? Because obviously you are well known. You have fans everywhere. So not only do how you deal with the critics, you answered that. How do you deal with the fame and the newfound fans? How is that for you?
It's bizarre because I don't look at myself as a celebrity. You know, when I get up in the morning, I do my same routine that I've always done. So for people to come at me like, oh, you know, you're a celebrity, I don't quite understand what the fuck that means yet. Because I don't, I'm just me. I'm me. I don't look at myself as, oh, I'm this huge celebrity. I'm the same old girl I always been. I haven't let this TV shit change me. I haven't let Love and Hip Hop change me. I'm the same bitch. Ask JD. Y'all know JD. Ask JD from years ago when he knew me. If I'm the same motherfucker I was back then that I am right now, I'm not going to let this shit change me. I'm going to continue to be myself through this whole process, because once you let something else change you from who you are, that's when shit go downhill.
Right.
Same girl I always been. So the celebrity thing and what does it feel to be like a celebrity? I don't fucking know, because I don't treat myself as that. I'm just me, shit.
Let me tell you something, man. I absolutely love Mimi. I absolutely love Mimi. Like, when you find somebody that real, all the questions, you answering the questions, you being open with the questions, it's just awesome. Just to find a down to earth person like that. And we just want to really thank you for being like this on the interview, you know what I'm saying? Because I think, like the girl from Texas said, you never know who's going through situations that's the same type of situations, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, they get energy off of seeing you move forward so strong, you know what I'm saying? You got people in around here that's damn near depressed, you know what I'm saying? And then when they see something like that, like, oh, man, I could get out here and start my own shit too. So I just think that a lot of people need to focus on that more than focusing on the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And gotta commend you for that.
Add something. I don't want to cut you off. I want to add something. Me
no,
as
no,
a
no,
woman,
no.
And I'm not gonna lie, I took so much time when I was in my relationship focusing on the man and focusing on someone else and not spending enough time focusing on me and what I was trying to do, and that was my downfall. So for all my sisters and my non-sisters, my white girls, my Asians, and my Latino sisters out there,
even if you, even my gay girlfriends, anybody, any woman who's in a situation, in a relationship, even though you're with your partner, you still need to keep your focus on yourself. Don't put so much focus on the other person that you lose yourself. And that's what I did. I lost myself in that situation with Stevie, and that's where I went wrong. That's what took me so long to get out of my situation. But once I realized my error, I quickly fixed it. You got to realize your error to fix it.
No doubt. I think, you know, in life, period, you got to see something before you could fix it. Like you said, if you don't know it's broken, you just keep it in moving, just like any old day. You can't fix it. Now, it's funny. I got two more questions that they hit me with on the text message real quick, and I got to ask them, you know what I'm saying, that they like, yo, Mimi giving it all, man. Ask her this. Mimi, I got two quick ones, all right?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Was the Rolex ticking when you got that joint from Nico?
The Rolex was not ticking. Y'all think it was ticking because Stevie said it was ticking? So what Stevie say is the fucking Bible now? Really? Whatever Stevie say is golden. Y'all, come on, man. It's TV around this bitch. Motherfuckers lie.
I hope they still listening. All right, so you got your answer. The Rolex wasn't ticking. And the second one was the car that Stevie give you, was that a rental?
Wow.
Nico on Vlad TV said, let me get something clear here. That car he gave Mimi that night, that was a rental. That went back.
Okay.
Let me clear it up.
I'm going to answer this.
Was that a rental?
The car was a rental. The car was a rental contingent upon Stevie getting me an Audi truck. We were waiting for the paperwork to go through on the Audi truck, and we had to shoot that scene. So Stevie got that car for the scene. But, in all fairness, he never got me the motherfucking Audi truck.
No.
So, that's what it is. Let's be clear. That's the truth of the matter right there. He was like, yeah, I'm going to get you the truck and da-da-da. He never got me shit. He rented that car for that motherfucking scene and never got me my goddamn truck.
Oh, shit. Wow. Stevie, what happened to the truck, baby? Damn.
He's spending his money.
Is he still the hero? Are they still looking up to him right now? We just learned that the Rolex was real. We learning that the car wasn't purchased. I mean, what? Is he still winning right now or what?
Wait. Let me be clear. I'm not even going to go down like that. Stevie did give me about, at that time, because he's real wishy-washy, he gave me about $5,000. And I took that money and I said he was piecemealing me. He would piece me here. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. And when he feels generous, he'll give me a couple dollars here, a couple dollars there. I would save all of that money. So I stacked up my money when he would give it to me. And I bought myself my own fucking truck. I bought myself a Range Rover with the money that Stevie was piecemealing me. So let's be clear. I'm not going to say the nigga didn't give a shit.
Okay.
He would give me money here. When people were watching, he'd be like, here, my, here you go. When motherfuckers is watching, he'll give me money. I'm like, oh, you need any money? Watching, okay, I'm gonna take it. I'll take it and stash it. And I bought myself my own truck. So I do have a truck right now that I got on my own from the money that he piecemealed me from here and there and everywhere. So I'm not even gonna try and say he did not give me shit. Yeah, he gave me a little couple dollars here and there, and I saved up and I got myself my own truck.
Smart. Hey, that's smart.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what's up.
That's how you got to do it. Yeah, listen, we told y'all we was going to have Mimi on the line tonight. She gave y'all everything with rollers in her. Now, I don't know if rollers is out. She gave y'all everything standing outside of a salon. How real is Mimi? So
that's
when you see
up.
Mimi, if you see Mimi, if she's in your city, salute Mimi because Mimi is one of the realest people we ever talked to.
If y'all send me a phone number right now where I can send you a picture, I'm going to send you a picture of what I look like right this second. If y'all
oh my goodness.
Yo, send that joint right. Oh, I can't say my number over the line.
I got
like
it.
I
know. I got you, Mimi. Number is on the way. Send that to us.
Yo, Mimi, follow me on Twitter.
What I look like right now.
Mimi, is there any
following me on Twitter, Mimi? Because I want that picture. I'm sorry, Mel is following me. I want that picture.
You want me to send it to Mel? I'll send it to Mel. She can send it to you.
All right, that's what's up.
Most definitely, Mimi. Is there anything
that's
else that you would like?
My Mimi souvenir.
While she's doing the interview.
I really appreciate you guys. This had to be the best interview I think I've had from season one to season two. This was the best interview
that's
I've
awesome.
Had, and I really appreciate it.
That's awesome, Mimi. Good looking. Good looking, for real. That means a lot to us, man, because, you know, we take our show seriously, and we want to get, you know, all sides of our guests, man. So that really means a lot. And next time me and Onyx touch down in ATL, I'm going to call Mel up. And we all got to just go out and chill somewhere, have some dinner, man, and just kick it, man. You just real genuine person.
You know what? You know what I want to do? When you guys get Benzino and you guys are doing the interview, I want you all to call me up because I got a couple of questions I want to ask Benzino.
Okay.
Benzino. Yes.
We can do that.
Yes.
We can do that. And we having Mama D on, too, coming up soon. So, we, you know, we ain't going through the whole cast, but we got a couple of, so let us know as well.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I'm kind of frightened of Mama D. When she talk about the castles and princes and all that shit, I be feeling like thunder be striking down.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Mama D, wow.
She real. She's a real chick. She a real chick. I mean, a whole different.
Yo,
that's a whole different.
I had the pleasure of taking a flight with Mama D from Atlanta to New York. Oh my God. Y'all, I was so embarrassed. Mama D. Oh my God. Just wait till Mama D on the show. I'm going to just let y'all know.
Wow. I remember Mama D at the. You remember Mama D at the launch? First of all, beautiful lady, man. Beautiful lady. You know, gorgeous lady. I'm like, wow, Mama D she looks great. And but Mama D got the castles and the paupers and the kings and that down to a science. Like,
yeah, she do.
Damn, she got
she
that
do.
Kingdom down to
he
a
know the
science,
kingdom line of, right?
Mama D is in a world of her own. And yo. I want you to interview her. It'll be the best interview you've ever had. You're going to be so entertained.
It's going to be hard to top this one. It's going to be hard to top this one. This was a great one.
Yeah, this what your realness and then the advice and all of that. I mean, it's just amazing. We can't wait. We definitely going to go back and grab some excerpts and move forward and. I love that you love this record, and Golden knows this is my joint too. We're gonna ride out to Rocco, you ain't even know it, and Golden, you already know. I get turned up.
Yeah. This
I get
is
so
our joint right here. Right, let me just give a shout out to Melissa Love. Thank you very much,
yes,
Mel Love, for hooking up the interview.
Shit, Mel.
Indeed, and let's say hi to little beautiful Eva. We love seeing
yes,
those pictures
yes,
on Instagram.
Princess.
Eva Giselle Jordan, you know mommy loves you, baby. You the best.
Also to you, thank you very much for coming on the show.
One more
we
thing.
Enjoyed you thoroughly.
I was cleaning up yesterday, and I was watching MTV Jams, and Lupe Fiasco video came on. I've never heard this song before. It was called Bad Bitch. Have you guys heard this song?
Yes, and the video is crazy.
Oh, my God. When I say it touched home, to me,
right.
So crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The cycle of what we are teaching our kids, and it touched home to me so bananas.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you guys.
No, that song is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that song. It's so real.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
You know what's crazy? Lupe has a real tendency, especially when he puts a video behind something. It's so real where he's coming from. Like, that stuff is in his spirit. That song, mm-hmm. Bad Bitch, a lot of girls are scared to listen to that song because they know that's them. He's talking about them.
Mm-hmm. When mm-hmm. I tell you, I was vacuuming my carpet, and when I heard the lyrics, I froze. And I got the chills, and I couldn't move. I had to watch the video to the end because it meant so much. It touched me so crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, in my spirit, it touched me. I couldn't even move. And I'm yelling for my sister was in my bedroom. I'm like, come out here. You got to see this. I'm yelling for him to come out to watch the video. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give a shout-out to Lupe. Nigga, I'm going to reach out to Twitter. I don't know you personally, but when I say you did that with that song, mm-hmm. and I want to promote it because it is so empowering to our young kids. They need to understand what he's saying. They need to get it. They need to mm-hmm. get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We'll take this excerpt from the interview and send it out to the blogs, and I'm sure they will, you know, be happy to know that, you know what I'm saying, you appreciated this song. Hopefully we can make a few points on here go viral, mm-hmm. and that's one of them that needs to. So mm-hmm. we'll definitely, with your permission, of course, send this
absolutely.
Out to the blog so they
right
know
now.
How you feel about that song. Okay, cool.
Ooh, most definitely. Man, we thank you so much, Mimi. It's been such a pleasurable. I mean, it's just, I've been rolling all night. I mean, I'm laughing. I can't remember most I laughed on this show like that because, I mean, it's just been a fun time. It's been real, and it's just been really inspiring as well. I love that you have your own business and you're a mother, and you're doing what you need to do for Eva. So it's just great, and I can't wait for next week. For Monday.
We call
you.
We definitely call
you. When I tell you. If you guys haven't seen any episode the whole season, please watch next week.
I want to see what he gives you by the wherever he was, piano or wherever that was. I want to know that whole scene. I can't wait.
I don't miss an episode. We don't miss an episode, so we're going to definitely see it. But, you know, the interview been a little roller coaster for me as a man. You know what I'm saying? And first, I'm rolling 1 minute, then I'm in the corner like, damn. they killing niggas right now. Shorty that called in from Texas. Oh my gosh, she's like, fuck these niggas. I was like,
yeah. But she mentioned forensics too. I was like, oh my lord.
Y'all, I'm going to keep it real simple. Right is right and wrong is wrong at the end mm-hmm. of the day. I don't give a fuck how you slice it, how you cut it, how you look at it. If you right, you right. And if you wrong, nigga, you wrong. Period.
Right.
So, right. I mean, men all day long, they know what Stevie J doing is dead ass the fuck wrong. Do they want to praise him for it? Yeah, because he look like a pimp ass nigga. Yeah, but nigga, you dead ass fucking wrong. And at the end of the day, would you want somebody to do that to your mother or your daughter? Fuck no. So why are you praising this nigga if you wouldn't want that done to your mother or your daughter? That's the bottom line. Look at it like that. Would you want somebody to treat your daughter like that, your baby girl? Would you want somebody to do your baby girl like that? No. Period. So you can praise him all day long, but think about if you had kids and someone did your baby like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I don't think most dudes, you ask them that question face-to-face, they could not say, I don't give a fuck if somebody do my daughter like that. I don't think I would ever hear nobody say that unless they really just didn't give a fuck. So that's a question they should pose to themselves.
If you've got Stevie J on if you interviewed him tomorrow or whenever, and you asked him that question, what if somebody treated your daughter like you did Mimi? Let's see what his answer would be.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him. He got three daughters. He know he dead ass wrong, but he don't give up. He just doing him. He's living in the moment, blah, blah, blah. And half of these niggas is praising him. Some of them got kids. Some of them don't. I don't know. But ask them that question. If you had a baby girl that you birthed, would you want somebody to treat your daughter like that? And let's see what their answer is. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Deep, Real
it
fucking
is.
Deep.
I have five brothers, and they mention stuff like that all the time. They're very careful in how they move about because of me and my, you know, and the way that my mother, what she went through. So that's a very important question to pose and ask. So,
Real deep. Well, we'll try to get Stevie on here. You know what I'm saying? We'll try to get Stevie on. You know, see what he has to say. But like I said, man, this is one of the greatest interviews we had here on the 14, on the Global 14. We really appreciate you taking the time out. You know, especially how you did it. You know what I'm saying? In the middle of getting your hair done. Like I said, when we come out
right.
there. We gonna touch down to Atlanta, man. We gonna have a good time and just chit chat, man. Cause it was an excellent conversation, and thank you for the audience members calling in. You know what I'm saying? And speaking to Mimi like you did, and everybody listening, man. Keep tuning in with us, and we just really appreciate all y'all and all y'all support.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I want to thank JD. If anybody wants to get in touch with me, it's Mimi Faust on my Twitter. MimiFaust. It's Mimi Faust on my Instagram. And my Facebook is Official Mimi Faust. I keep it real simple.
Okay.
Oh, and I would like to say that my website for my cleaning business is keepitcleanatl.com. Just like it's spelled. Keepitcleanatl.com is my website for my cleaning business.
Most definitely. We're going to make sure we tweet those out at G14 Radio and at Global 14. It's
and follow us
radio
on
station.
Twitter, Mimi, so we can talk.
Yeah, I will. I'm so bad at this whole Twitter thing. You know what? I'm just I just started social media when I started the show. I'd never had a Twitter
wow.
or anything. They
wow.
made me get it. What the fuck is this?
Now you trapped in there. Now you sucked in with the rest of us.
Right. I'm kind of bad. You know, my sister helps me along the way, but I'm really bad at you know, I'm not on it like I should be because I'm just so busy and I just don't know. I'm not up on social media like that. I'm an old school girl.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, we definitely gonna ride out to this record. Like I said, Rocco, you ain't even know it. You ain't even know it. Let me say it right. We got to jam out to this. Thank you so much for stopping through tonight.
Yes.
We really appreciate it.
Mimi kept it 100% real, and you ain't even know it.
Alrighty.
Alright, y'all were the
cannon. You don't even know it.
Oh, high class, nigga.
This is our
crazy.
Flash it only.
Flash it only.
Got killers with me right now, you don't even know it. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know it. Got $1 million crib, nigga, you don't even know it.
Hey, that monster truck, sit tall as fuck, so big, can't even talk. Don't like snakes, keep my grad cut so low, can't even more. Tip done, period, look high, glow, no, we don't do more. It ain't PJ, no rose for me, host don't even pour it. Spent song for it. Button down, Michael Kors. Always on like the refrigerator, unplugged, then oh you know it. AP and that P gate with a bright lean when I'm bored. Got a mouthpiece and a 41 millimeter, you ain't even know it. Keep the 45 in my pocket, I ain't gon' show it till I have to pop it, then you gon' know it. Damn, who shot you, they don't even know it. Hawks game, fucking Floyd. CVC front row it. Rocko the Dunn, CEO it. Ain't got a rapper, you know it.
$1 million, you don't even know it. Got $1 million crib, nigga, you don't even know it.
Hey, that nigga show you that re-rock.
You ain't even know it. I die over these Reeboks. You ain't even know it. Put Molly all in her champagne. She ain't even know it. I took her home and I enjoyed that. She ain't even know it. Got 100 acres I live on. You ain't even know it. Got 100 rounds in this AR. You ain't even know it. Got a bag of bitches that I play with on cloud 9 in my spaceship. Zoned out with these stay fresh from zone 1 through zone 6. Creeks all in my blood. Birds all in my dreams. Boats all in my yard. Lemon pepper my wings. I'm about to get you fucked, niggas. Whack. You ain't even know it. Your main nigga about to turn his back. You ain't even know it.
It's down all the pair of shoes. You don't even know it. It's down on the plane, you don't even know. Just $500,000 car, you don't even know. I came up from bottom, you don't even know. My niggas all right with me, you don't even know. Got killers with me right now, you don't even know. This $1 million watch, nigga, you don't even know. Got $1 million quick, nigga, you don't even know. Hey. We turned up every day, you don't even know it. Got your bitch with me right now, you don't even know it. We turn up in the club, you don't even know it. Got a 100 bottles coming, you don't even know it. We came up from that, you don't even know it. Drive a $500,000 car, you don't even know it. This down all the best shows, you don't even know it. Got bitch speak no English, you don't even know it.
Cannon.
Got a $1 million quick, nigga, you don't need no.